in South Korea. A U.S. military plane flew to pick up the remains, and Congressman Lee Zeldin talks about our communications with the North Koreans.
It's certainly an important sign of progress. You're seeing a commitment being fulfilled. It's important to note that North Korea was making concessions before the talks even took place. Mm-hmm. They stopped their provocative missile testing and development.
CBS CEO Les Moonves is accused of unwanted kissing and touching in an article that was published today in The New Yorker. CBS stocks fell on the news, and also CBS has said they're going to be investigating these allegations. And President Donald Trump denied knowing Friday that he knew in advance about a meeting at Trump Tower between a Russian lawyer and Donald Trump Jr. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful. But then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared. And the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works. And it's so easy to get your questions answered too. So why not? You can call right now. 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE. 833-39-BIBLE.
The government releases a rosy report on the U.S. economy, and USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
Shortly after the Commerce Department releases the report on the second quarter GDP, the best measure of the nation's economic activity, the president and his economic advisors emerged from the White House. President Trump noting that the economy grew by
the amazing rate of 4.1%.
That growth outpaces the 2.2% growth the economy registered during the first 3 months of this year and is the fastest growth in a quarter in 4 years. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Massachusetts has become the first state since Donald Trump nominated Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court to abolish from its books an abortion ban that predates the 1973 Roe v. Wade ruling. Republican Governor Charlie Baker signed the bill today that repeals the unenforced ban with roots back to 1945. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Former Democratic Senator Joe Lieberman wrote an op-ed imploring voters in New York City not to elect Democratic Socialist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Lieberman joined Fox News to talk about why he's not supporting Cortez.
I mean, she calls herself a Democratic Socialist. To me, she's more of a socialist than a Democrat. And that's not good for the party that, though it rejected me in Connecticut in 2006, I continue to be a member of, although I'm obviously independent in who I support. You know what really worried about me about this after Ocasio-Cortez beat Joe Crowley? During the campaign, she called for the abolition of ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement yes. Section. It made no sense. I can come back to that. But after she won, three credible Democratic candidates for president in 2020 embraced the same call. And it's like the old story about Robespierre during the French Revolution, I got to get out in front of the mob. Those are my followers there, you know.
Speaking of Cortez, she went on The Daily Show and once again said the rich aren't paying their fair share. She used the example of Warren Buffett not paying as much as a percentage-wise of taxes as his secretary. Now, we all know Warren Buffett pays more in taxes than his secretary on a numbers basis, but not percentage-wise. During that interview, she also talked about being in favor of a carbon tax and also cutting defense spending and using that money on other government programs. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We have been hearing all sorts of news out of Hawaii about the eruption of the Kilauea volcano, seeing all sorts of dramatic, fiery images, hearing tales of houses and estates being destroyed, smoke filling the air, danger of all kinds. The reality on the ground is certainly dramatic, but it's a little bit different than what's being conveyed. And here to speak with us about this is Ken Hahn. He is a volcanologist with the University of Hawaii at Hilo. Dr. Hahn, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me, Derek.
So I remember back in the 1990s when the Kilauea volcano was erupting and seeing all those pictures on the news. What is the scale of what's happening this time around? And tell us what's going on and how it's impacting people locally.
Well, actually, if you remember from 1990, that's when the town of Kalapana was overrun by lava. That's actually part of the same eruption. This is an eruption that's been going on for 35 years.
Wow.
And what happens is the vent changes its location or the lava flows change where they're going. And so, you know, it's been erupting quietly inside the national park, and it stays out of the news. And what happened in the beginning of May is the lava shifted away from the old Pu'o'o vent, and they opened up a vent right in the middle of Leilani Estates, which is a subdivision out on the lower flank of the volcano. So this, of course, attracted a lot of news attention, as well as the fact that the amount of lava, because it's coming out lower on the volcano, it's coming out at a much higher volume than it was previously. So it's made for a pretty spectacular eruption, and it's also caused a lot of destruction in that area.
So geologically, this is part of the same eruption. I heard also that it actually boiled off a lake that had been there for some time in about 90 minutes. Is that the case?
Yeah, I mean, when this particular lava flow, as it was getting close to the ocean, it went into the middle of an old cone, and there was a lake inside that old cone, and the lava filled it in and pretty much boiled all the water out of there in just a couple hours. Yeah, so the impact in the area that's directly affecting both the people who live there and and then the terrain around there, it's a pretty substantial impact. We've lost over 500 houses in this eruption so far. So it's had a big impact on people living there. It's also cut off, you know, a large number of residents from their homes because its roads have been blocked by the lava flows, and there's no access into those areas any longer. So we've had to evacuate people out. And we have a lot of people that don't have homes right now. So there is a big impact in that area, but it's a fairly small region of the island that's actually being directly impacted right now.
We're speaking with Dr. Ken Hahn, professor of geology and volcanology at the University of Hawaii at Hilo. What's the area, what's the size of the area that's impacted here in comparison to the size of the island in total? Because I think there are a lot of misconceptions from us here on the mainland about how deeply, and clearly it's impacting some folks, this is impacting everyone and indeed the entire state.
Yeah, and it's really only about 1% of the island is directly impacted by the lava flows right now. There's a slightly larger area that is closed to anybody but residents right now just because of the dangers being around the vent. But it's a pretty small portion of the island that's directly impacted.
Now, one of the things that I know is that these the Hawaiian Islands were created by volcanic activity, and I've had a couple of friends of mine say, "Oh, wow! There's going to be all this new acreage. How much actual new land is being formed at this time? Are we talking about anything beyond a few square yards? What's the size of that?"
Well, I mean, all of the Hawaiian Islands, right, have been created by volcanic eruptions. So it's just part of the process, right? These lava flows, they start off underwater and they build up the volcanoes until they break the surface of the water and then they just keep building. So actually growing the volcano is part of the process. And I'm not sure how many acres have been added, but there's been quite a few acres just now just added by this one lava flow going into the ocean. So there's been a little bit of land added, but it's come at a price because part of it flowed into a beautiful bay, and this bay had some really amazing coral reefs, and it completely covered those. So we've kind of replaced what was a bay, and it's now kind of a point sticking out further into the ocean.
Okay.
But this is part of the process of just growing our islands.
Okay, so we're not ready to carve up the new subdivisions quite yet.
No, and all that land belongs to the state, so all the new land immediately becomes part of the state land reserve.
Gotcha. Okay, I'll tell my eager real estate interested friends that they've got to hold off a little bit. Again, we're speaking with Ken Hahn, professor of geology and volcanology at the University of Hawaii at Hilo. Tell us if you could, am I going to have to cancel my Hawaiian vacation? I mean, is this just going to ruin everything for me?
You know, I don't think most people, if they come here, will even really notice the difference.
Oh, wow.
So I'd just like to reassure people that there is, you know, no reason not to come right now. Like I said, most of the island is not being affected. Only a small part of it is being directly affected by these lava flows. One thing that is happening is that because there's more lava coming out, there's more gas being emitted. So depending on the weather, the kind of volcanic haze that we get over the islands can be stronger or weaker or, you know, in places. But that's the only impact that you're going to notice when you visit the island. You can still get around to places, and while a large part of Hawaii Volcanoes National Park is closed at the moment, the southernmost part of it is open. There's also other places to go visit lava, like in the saddle area between Mauna Loa and Mauna Kea. There's a lot of beautiful terrain in there that can be explored. And there's lots of other activities, going to the beach, you know, which is what most people come to Hawaii to do. Nice. That is still open. And you can still get to see this historic eruption either by lava boat tours, so you can see the lava entering the ocean, or you can take a helicopter tour and be able to see this rather amazing, like 10-mile-long open channel of lava. It's a pretty fantastic thing. Almost like it's out of the movies, that it, the scale of it is so large to see. But it's not posing any danger to people visiting the islands at all.
Wow. So it's not only not a reason to stay away, but it's actually a reason to come and see one of nature's amazing and rarely directly seen processes in all its fiery glory.
Yeah, and I want to state that you're not allowed right up into the lava area because right. that is relatively dangerous. But you can see it from the air, which is really on the ground. You have a hard time seeing it. The scale of these things, they're so big, and the lava flow is actually 40 to 50 feet up in the air, and it's surrounded by these massive levees. So it's very hard to actually see the channels and see much of this from the ground. So seeing it from the air or seeing it from out of the ocean is a much better and safer way to view it.
Well, I think I may call my travel agent right now. We've been speaking with Dr. Ken Han, professor of geology and volcanology at the University of Hawaii at Hilo. Dr. Han, thank you so much for taking the time with us on Now It's the News.
Well, thank you very much, Derek, for having me on. And if people need more information about the lava flows, there's a website called gohawaii.com that they can visit and get information about whatever's going on the island.
Well, thanks so much, and thanks for being here.
Thank you, Derek.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
I'm Will Flitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
Ike was such a sweet, lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up, and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh! My dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still stink.
Very stinky, both bad breath and bad gas.
I asked the vet, and he said, some dogs are just stinky.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Dinovite .com.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients convinced me that it was definitely worth trying. After about a week, he started smelling normal. My husband and I were really kind of astonished.
Dynavite is nutrition.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
This report is brought to you by Nature Valley. Summer is finally here, and it's time for families to trade in some screen time for green time. And there is no better time to get outdoors as a family and do some good, too. From now through the end of August, Nature Valley is kicking off its Summer of a Million Miles Challenge, which encourages families across the nation to get outdoors and collectively hike, walk, or run a million miles. And the best part is that it's easy to join. Simply download the Map My Hike app, go to the Challenge tab, and join the Nature Valley Million Miles Challenge. Log your hikes to earn badges and rewards. Wherever your hikes take you this summer, be sure to pack Nature Valley granola bars to keep you fueled for the trail ahead and share your snaps using hashtag NatureValleyHikeAMillion. For more details, visit naturevalley.com/hikeamillion. That's naturevalley.com/hikeamillion.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We're speaking today with Andrew Schaefer. He's the author of Hope Never Dies, an Obama-Biden mystery. Andrew, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Derek.
I've got to say that this is probably the coolest idea for a political book that I think I have ever heard of. I'm looking at the front cover right now. It just has an awesome illustration of former President Obama standing in a convertible, pointing boldly forward. It looks like it might be a Trans Am or something like that. I haven't read that far, so I don't know what make it is, if indeed this book, car is included in the adventure, and former Vice President Biden is at the wheel, safely buckled in the car.
Right.
he's adventurous, but he's sensible. And he's also 75, so he's got to be more cautious than a younger man might be. Watching President Obama and Vice President Biden over the years, I suppose we see the dynamic, especially with Vice President Biden, of this guy who's, you know, really kind of got something going on and has this kind of very intense personal charm, who's very touchy, very engaged. And I know The Onion over the course of the years sort of built up this overblown kind of persona around him. How did you craft Biden as a character in this book?
The thing about The Onion was that it was so well done and over the top that a lot of people almost forgot what the real Joe Biden was like, because he appeared on more Onion headlines than in real headlines over the years. Right. If you're the vice president, it's not your job to make headlines. And, you know, any time you saw Joe Biden's name in the news, you're like, what did he say now? So, but the real Joe Biden is very thoughtful and very serious. So he's not this sort of buffoon that you saw on The Onion. And I wanted to sort of bring that more serious aspect of his character to light. And so the book, he's fun, but he's also serious, and he makes for a really great sort of noir-style narrator.
Right.
And that's sort of where I took him as a character. He's a little bit darker than you'd imagine, but I think a little bit closer to the real Joe Biden.
And I'm seeing that through the initial stages of his investigation. He's trying to track down what happened to a friend of his, and you kind of have to set this up and know something about Joe Biden and what his routines were. He would travel when he was a senator from his home state of Delaware to Washington, D.C. He would actually commute back and forth every day on the Amtrak train.
Oh yeah, I mean tens of thousands of miles put on the Amtrak train. So you know, and he didn't do that when he was then in Washington as vice president. So in the book, he goes back to, you know, his life in Delaware and tries to sort of reconnect with people, but it's, he just feels it's, you know, it's not the same, and then he loses touch with Barack Obama. So he's at really a kind of a dark place as the book begins, and he finds out his friend has passed away, and you know, it does get fun from there, though. I don't want to say it's dark, but you know, they're tackling serious issues, but later on they do eat a lot of ice cream. So don't worry, it's still fun.
Well, what I know so far is that he's left a bowl of ice cream on the table, you know, and he seems like he's not getting into it so much. I hope that he picks up the spoon later in the book, and I'm really interested to see how he does that and how he figures out what happened to his friend. We're speaking with Andrew Schaefer. He is the author of Hope Never Dies, an Obama-Biden mystery. Did you ever meet the vice president, or were you just observing him from afar in order to create this story?
Well, to create the story, I just read his memoirs and biographies and stuff like that. But I did meet him last year when he was on his book tour. And I was going to almost say his campaign, because it's sort of what his tour stops were. He was out there, you know, he gives a long speech and talks a lot about, you know, fighting for the future and stuff like that. And it seems like he's working up a campaign. But I did meet him on that, but I was wearing a T-shirt that had like an ice cream cone on it. And it was really silly. Mm-hmm. And the first thing he did when he shook my hand was he looked at my shirt and he goes, "Ice cream is my favorite." and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, you're Joe Biden." And you know, I was just so shocked. And then he said a few other things, but I didn't even bring up the book because I was just the whole time, it was just like, "You're Joe Biden. You're Joe Biden. You're right. Yeah. I can't believe you said that," you know? So it was like seeing one of your own characters come to life and then remembering, oh, wait a minute. He's always been a character, you know?
Yeah, he's always engaged people in that way. He's always had that kind of joie de vivre in spite of a good deal of personal tragedy that has absolutely nothing to do with this book. How did you create the storyline here? How did you develop something? Because it seems like you're sort of on an edge between just this is not complete over the top goofy riffing parody. This has like sort of a serious tone to it while being really really fun. How did you keep that balance? And how did you develop a storyline that would engage readers?
Yeah, I mean, the first draft that I had went all over the place. It was a very much more of a parody where they were, you know, swinging from helicopters, and they went to Cuba, and they went to Afghanistan, and it was like Rambo. And then I started to write some more serious stuff in there, and my editor was like, "Go with this. The serious stuff is pretty good, you know. Don't throw it out." Mm-hmm. And I said, "You know what? I'm going to throw everything else out." And so I sort of rewrote the book where, you know, you look at the cover, it looks like a joke, and then you start reading it, and there are a lot of jokes in the book. But, you know, over time, hopefully you get involved in the mystery. And I tried to make it as personal to Joe and Barack Obama as possible by, you know, by having it be someone that the fictional Joe knows in the book, which is an Amtrak conductor who dies mysteriously. And so, the trick was to try to make it, you know, very personal, but have the humor come from the characters. You know, the humor is not you know, in seeing them do wild things. Although Joe does swing off the side of a train at one point.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
We're Sound Income Strategies, and baby boomers who work with us know the secret to a great retirement is our middle name, income. At Sound Income Strategies, we transform high-fee, high-taxed retirement spend-down schemes into sustained retirement income. And we can do the same for you. For your free, no-obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
It's time to get off the Wall Street roller coaster, stop the retirement spend down schemes, and join the income generation. For your free, no obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm. Sound Income Strategies, the secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
Call 866-913-1234.
USA Radio News.
The UN command said today that 55 cases of war remains retrieved from North Korea would be honored at a ceremony next Wednesday at a base in South Korea. A U.S. military plane flew to pick up the remains, and Congressman Lee Zeldin talks about our communications with the North Koreans.
It's certainly an important sign of progress. You're seeing a commitment being fulfilled. It's important to note that North Korea was making concessions before the talks even took place. Mm-hmm. They stopped their provocative missile testing and development.
CBS CEO Les Moonves is accused of unwanted kissing and touching in an article that was published today in The New Yorker. CBS stocks fell on the news, and also CBS has said they're going to be investigating these allegations. And President Donald Trump denied knowing Friday that he knew in advance about a meeting at Trump Tower between a Russian lawyer and Donald Trump Jr. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I currently skipping stones with four locals and one grizzly bear outside this Riverside Lodge in Portland? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because, honestly, the bear just kind of joined in, and now we're afraid that if we stop, he'll get angry. He can smell our fear. Hotels.com. You do you, and get rewarded.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
And now, it's the news.
We're speaking with Andrew Schaefer. He's the author of Hope Never Dies, an Obama-Biden mystery. Did this come about as a result of looking at Joe Biden or saying to yourself, I want to come up with a political mystery? I guess the extension of that would be, are you considering or would you consider more Obama-Biden mysteries, or would you consider more political mysteries involving other characters? I mean, for example, could there be a John McCain, Lindsey Graham duo in the future?
Oh boy. My initial idea was to do, you know, a Biden one simply because he had those aviator shades on. He looks like an action hero with those. Until he opens his mouth and sticks his foot in it, of course. So that was sort of the initial idea, and it morphed into more of a sort of a mystery action adventure thing with Barack joining him because of the romance memes that went around last year all over the internet, where, you know, they were the best of friends. And I said, you know, there aren't a lot of stories about male friendship out there. It's not something that people talk about a lot or read about. So there's a little bit of that underneath there, but there will be another book. It will also star Barack Obama and Joe Biden. It's called Nice. Hope Rides Again, and it's coming out next summer from Quirk Books.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's fantastic. So you've already got a sequel in the works. This could be the next Alphabet series. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, the next Sue Grafton series. a lot of the longevity depends on, you know, whether Joe runs for office or whether he, you know, what he personally decides to do, and how long people are, you know, still interested in Joe Biden. I think Barack Obama is going to be of interest, though, for a very, very long time, obviously.
I think so. I think you're probably safe with the both of them. And over the next year or so, speculation at the very least will fuel interest. So I think you've got some good grounds there. I've only read some of the initial chapters where he's beginning to unfold the mystery, where he attends the funeral, where he's finding out things about what happened to his friend, his friend's family, etc. Do other political figures weave their way throughout this? And I'm wondering, as you develop the series, will that become a part of it? Is it primarily based on these two guys, or is it going to kind of branch out into the current political spectrum? Because I have certainly noticed that at least as far as I can tell, and there's no indication that he's going to come up, that the current occupant of the Oval Office doesn't seem to be involved here, and that seems to have been, and correct me if I'm wrong, a conscious choice.
Yeah, definitely a conscious choice. The last book I wrote was called The Day of the Donald, which was a satire of a reality TV show host becoming president of the United States. I mean, who would ever imagine something that crazy? So it was a satire, and it was released during the Republican primaries. And then something happened, and it wasn't relevant. It almost should be shelved as nonfiction now.
Wow. So,
no, I was a conscious choice not to write about a certain person in this book. And part of that was I wanted to keep partisan politics out of it quite a bit. I mean, they make a few allusions here or there. But for the most part, it's just a story. It's just, you know, humanizing these two people and saying, here's this friendship, and, you know, they have to learn to work. They worked in an office for a while, and now they have to reestablish their relationship now that they're not together anymore.
Right.
And so it was definitely a conscious decision to go in a, you know, a different way than partisan politics here.
So you've revealed this much, that Vice President Biden is hanging off the side of the truck. He's 75 years old at this point. How much do you put him through the ringer in this thing?
Oh, boy, he really goes through the ringer. But I'll tell you, nobody will tell you how good of shape Joe Biden is in other than Joe Biden. Joe Biden loves to tell you how good of shape he's in.
Famously expressing his love of ice cream. Right.
He will show off his guns and his arms, and at the same time, you know, with two ice cream cones in his hands. He's in phenomenal shape, so I had to actually hobble him in the story later on with a with a knee injury so that the bad guys would have a little bit of a fighting chance against him.
Well, you know, when you achieve the level of international man of mystery that Joe Biden has, yeah, I suppose you have to, you know, give him something to work against, because otherwise it's going to be a very short story indeed. Andrew Schaefer, I really am looking forward to finishing this. I'm looking forward to the new book coming out next year, and I really appreciate what you've created here. I think it's funny, but with a really human side to it, and it's political, and yet somehow you've taken the bitterness of politics out of it, and that's quite a feat. Hope never dies. An Obama-Biden mystery. Andrew Schaefer, thank you so much for taking the time today.
I really appreciate talking to you, Derek. Thanks.
Beware of naked, bathing, Cheeto-eating strangers. Especially in Louisiana, apparently, because police from that state say a woman came home to discover a naked stranger in her tub eating her Cheetos while taking a bath. Evelyn Washington, 29 years old, was arrested on burglary and property damage charges. And if she had eaten a bag of my Cheetos, that would definitely be damaging my property. A responding officer found a tub full of water and a plate full of food, along with half-eaten Cheetos belonging to the victim, on the toilet next to the tub. That may be the most disturbing part of this story, ladies and gentlemen. Cheetos on the toilet seat. Evelyn Washington, the burglar, told the homeowner and police that an unknown male had told her to break into the house. Police found a tall ice chest under a broken window. It's unclear if she has a lawyer. That is a bizarre set of instructions. And a bizarre way to follow them, frankly. Just not something you do. I mean, there are a lot of petty crimes that you can inflict upon a person, but grabbing their Cheetos, not cool. You say, I say, you say, I say. Oh, you say, I say. Listening to Now It's the News, I'm Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
I'm Will Flitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Technology is changing the car buying process, as many now start their search online. In fact, a recent survey found that 44% of consumers are comfortable shopping for a car via the internet. If you're planning to buy a car this summer, consider exploring digital tools designed to improve your car buying experience. Bank of America's mobile car shopping tool makes shopping for and financing a car easier and more efficient, so you can spend more time enjoying the summer. John Schleck for Bank of America.
Car shoppers can now seamlessly integrate their shopping and financing experience all in one place, either on the go or in the comfort of their own homes. Using the mobile car shopping tool, our clients can actually select new or used cars, all from participating dealers, estimate a monthly payment, and even apply for a Bank of America car loan on the specific car they're looking at, all prior to their dealer visit.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We're speaking today with Elaine Weiss. She's the author of The Woman's Hour, The Great Fight to Win the Vote. It's a story about the battle for the vote for women in 1920 and what led up to that. Elaine Weiss, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Derek.
So I thought I knew pretty well the general outline of how the fight for the 19th Amendment played out, but I'm learning by reading your book that it's a lot more complicated than I thought it was. First of all, tell us a little bit, if you will, about the background for the fight, what led up to the proposal, and then a passage by Congress, and then and the passage by the states of the 19th Amendment. Primarily, I learned that there was a very powerful a female-led anti-suffragist a movement. That is something that I was not aware of. Explain a little bit about that, if you could.
Yes. So when my book opens, it is the summer of 1920, and the 19th Amendment, which grants the vote to all American women in every state, in every election, is poised on the cusp of ratification, has to be ratified by 36 of the states, having gone through Congress. And now 35 have ratified it. It needs one more. And the fight comes down to the legislature of Tennessee. And they might be the 36th or they might not. And that would actually be devastating to the suffragists. So this is the culmination, sort of the Alamo of the whole movement. The movement, the demand for the vote has been going on for 72 years. By 1920.
Right.
There's three generations of women who've been fighting for it, hundreds and hundreds of state and local and national battles. What we call the 19th Amendment was introduced 42 years before. So it's been a very long slog with many, many battles in between. And now it comes down to this historic confrontation, and you have the suffragists come from all over the nation to Nashville for the fight. You have political operatives from the political parties come down because it's a presidential election coming up in November of 1920, and they are nervous about this unpredictable block of women possibly entering the electorate. You have corporate interests who are opposed to women getting the ballot for business reasons, which I detail in the book. And there are ideological foes. There are clergymen who think this will be the downfall of American civilization and goes against God's plan for women. And then you have this fascinating cohort of women who are called the antis. These are the women who oppose their sisters getting the vote. And they have a variety of reasons. Many times they're religiously or culturally conservative and believe women's place is in the home and the vote is going to corrupt her and will destroy the American family. So there are all these reasons, all these contesting forces pile into Nashville in the summer of 1920, and it's a very dramatic 6-week fight that I detail in the book.
It's interesting that it takes place in Nashville. Certainly in this day and age, you would think of that as a locus of cultural conservatism. What was the tenor of politics in Nashville at that time, especially as regarded the rights of women?
Well, Nashville actually turns out to be an interesting state. It's certainly not the dream state for the suffragists. It is a southern state, and by this time, most of the other states of the old Confederacy have defeated the 19th Amendment. They've refused to ratify. And there are racial aspects to the arguments against it. There are cultural arguments in the South. And so this is not a great place for the suffragists to have to stand their ground. That said, Tennessee is considered more progressive than some of the other states in the South. And it also has a strong suffrage infrastructure. It has many strong women organizations that are fighting for it. So in some ways, it's atypical of the South in that it is more strongly pro-suffrage in some ways, but it represents the South in many cultural and political ways. It's also the center of industry, so the railroads are very strong there. The liquor industry is very strong there. The textile manufacturing industry is very strong, and they all oppose suffrage and try to act their will on the legislature, and that's the fight that we see happened before our eyes in Nashville in the book.
We're speaking with Elaine Weiss. She's the author of The Women's Hour, The Great Fight to Win the Vote. Just backing up for a moment, something that you mentioned earlier fascinated me. I hadn't realized that you had a 40-year span between when the legislation was introduced, the amendment, and when it was finally ratified by the states. When did the Congress finally end up passing it, and what were those 40 years, two generations, really like?
Oh, yeah. It is an amendment to the Constitution. There are two ways for women to be granted the right to vote. The power of the vote resides with the states. Right. They can make election laws. And, of course, we see that happening right now as different states decide on different means of access to the vote. So it's the states that can decide, and some states do, but it's quite clear that not all states are going to give their women the vote. And the a constitutional amendment to make it broad across the board, across the nation, is introduced into Congress by Friends of the Suffrage Movement in 1878.
Wow.
And it gets just put in a file drawer. Every year, the suffragists march up to Capitol Hill in Washington, and they testify, and they plead, and they explain why this is only simple justice, that they are equal citizens, that they are taxpayers. This is taxation without representation. They give all the very well-considered arguments, and the congressmen look at them and say, oh, that's nice. They put it in a drawer, and then they go through it again the next year. This goes on for over 40 years. Finally, after World War I, is the time when women have proven their service. They've served the nation in many ways they'd never served before, as in the industry, as farmers. They've taken on roles they've never taken on before. And now the argument that they don't deserve the vote is really getting hollow, and even the men are realizing this really doesn't. It's not right. And so there's more momentum in Congress. There's also a few states, like large states like New York State, California, Washington State, Illinois, where the state legislatures have given women the vote. And so now there are a few women who actually can vote for president and sometimes for their congressman. So they have a little bit more sway. And so finally, the House of Representatives, the Congress passes the amendment in 1918, but the Senate still sits on it for another year and a half and does not pass the amendment till June of 1919. And it's an off year, and the legislatures in many states are not in session, and that means they have to call special sessions. They make it particularly difficult, but they've done this. The suffragists have gone to every state and rallied, held rallies and parades and lobbying, and they've gotten 35 states, and now this is the 36th, and everything comes down to Tennessee.
Wow. Well, it's a fascinating story. I don't want to give too much away, but a spoiler alert, the suffragists win. So, but it really.
But I want to make it so that you don't realize that.
Yeah, no. I get that. And to me, the fascinating part is the political battle that takes place in Nashville and the real, you know, political and media circus that becomes. And I urge folks to get the book and check that out, because it really is an amazing tale. Elaine Weiss, she's the author of The Women's Hour, The Great Fight to Win the Vote. Thank you so much for being here with us, and thank you for filling out the education that I only received partially growing up. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Derek.
Happy trails. Happy trails.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com. Follow us on Twitter at nowitsthenews. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Happy trails.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help. Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite. Pick up two bottles of LicoChops, get the third bottle free. New improved LicoChops with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E, and now 6 extra direct-fed microbials. Even better for the digestive tract and immune system. And dogs love it. Try LicoChops. Buy 2, get 1 free. This is Henry Lukasevic for Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
Ready for a great day on the boat?
Oh, yeah. Hand me that cooler, will you?
Okay. That everything?
Food, sunscreen, tackle, bait, life jackets?
Nah, we won't need them.
Yeah, but I kind of promised my wife.
No, life jacket. That's a deal breaker, Robert.
Yeah, and I promised my daughter.
Come on, Daddy.
Hand me one of those life jackets, will you?
Yeah.
This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the women who nag you. love you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
The U.S. economy grew at the strongest pace in nearly 4 years during the second quarter. The GDP rose to an annual rate of 4.1%. Now, some economists, though, were expecting that number to be 4.4%. No matter what number you were thinking, though, President Trump said the economy is turning around.
We've accomplished an economic turnaround of historic proportions. When I came into office, 1.5 million fewer prime-age Americans were working than 8 years before.
With the upcoming 2018 midterm elections, many people are wondering if Russia is going to try once again to influence our election. Well, Secretary of Defense James Mattis says, don't worry, we got everything covered.
Rest assured, there are actions underway to protect our elections or to expose any external efforts to influence the American public.
This is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay.
Hey!
So why am I outside my beachfront suite, aimlessly leading a 40-guest conga through the streets of Myrtle Beach?
Hey!